such peace within. No worries about tomorrow or how my life may end.
I know my future's settled, my Jesus made the way for me to live in glory. Oh, this could be the day I'm gonna rise. When I hear the trumpet sound,
I'm gonna rise.
Gonna rise with my Jesus heaven bound. I'm gonna rise.
Gonna rise.
And I know it won't be long with my Lord. Hallelujah. I'm gonna rise. Have you made your reservation for the mansion in the sky? You can have one for the asking in the sweet by and by.
He paid the price at Calvary, just give your life to him.
When he comes to claim his children, he'll say, child, enter in. I'm gonna rise. When I hear that trumpet sound,
I'm gonna rise.
Gonna rise with my Jesus heaven bound. I'm gonna rise.
Gonna rise.
And I know it won't be long with my Lord. Hallelujah. I'm gonna rise. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. I'm gonna rise. When I hear that trumpet sound,
I'm gonna rise.
Gonna rise with my Jesus heaven bound. I'm gonna rise.
Gonna rise.
And I know it won't be long with my Lord. Hallelujah. I'm gonna rise with my Lord.
Those blue ties, I'm telling you.
Well, hold on. We don't know what's going to happen next. Brother Moore is with us tonight. Brother Jerry Moore pastors the Harvest Hills Baptist Church in Duncan, Oklahoma. He was a member here, he and his wife, during the time he served as missions director at the Independent Baptist Fellowship International. He is a friend for many, many years, and we're grateful to have him in our service tonight. And he's going to preach for us. I'll pick up next Sunday night with our sermon number 2 in our 3 sermon series that we started last Sunday night. Thank you for being here. Brother Moore, it's good to have you. Mrs. Moore, thank you for coming. I have noticed Brother Moore acts much better when you're present.
Hey, Ogden sent me a note. How many of you were here at graduation? I passed a little note down, and it said K-I-S-S, Jerry. That doesn't mean you kiss me. It's keep it short, stupid. You know, Brother Ogden did probably as good a job for graduation as any man I've heard in a long, long time. Brother Smith, what are you doing over there with Mrs. Smith? You never sit there. You can't sit over there. You have to sit here and say amen.
All right, you're the boss.
Marcia and I would like to tell you that Oklahoma is fine, but gasoline has gone to $3.29 in God's country. Can you believe that? I can't believe it. It's higher than Texas. Amen? So somebody said it was supposed to go to $4 a gallon at one of the refineries, but I don't believe those nonsense. Do you? Oh, well, we'll just have to get used to that. It's good to see my friend from Brazil. And, you know, I believe that we paid $4.50 to $5 a gallon. Is that what you guys pay? That's what we paid all the time we were there for 4 years. $5 a gallon. Now, that'll really get you going, you know, especially if you had to count it out in foreign currency. Makes it even worse. I help teach a little bit of missions around here. Brother Smith does some. I'm not sure who else does that. But I do want you to know I enjoy your service. Now, I know Brother Smith tells me you're down. Is that true? To me, this is a great crowd. You see, that's the reason I feel like that the Lord brought you down here so I could feel more at home. Amen? And so I appreciate those of you that are here tonight. I appreciate what God is doing through the school. And me and Marcia and our family had the privilege of having Brother Smith and Mrs. Smith up there. And, you know, as he preached his heart out. You don't ever get over preaching. I've heard him 1,000 times. If I've heard him once, he did as good or better than any other time he's ever preached. Now, he had a little trouble with the stairs. We have stairs as well. And I noticed he kept walking around like this. I thought, well, he's surely not going to jump, not with his knee. He got off of the platform only one time. And then he got out on his knees and couldn't get back up. No. No, he did get back up. And you know, he did probably as good a job as I've ever, better than any job he's ever done. The crowds grew every night. And I felt like that we had gone back to the time when we first started churches. Brother Smith was in evangelism. And he would be so booked, you couldn't get him. So I would call him and I'd say, Brother Smith, pull out your calendar. He would get his calendar out. What days do you have off? I'll take you for Christmas. No. He would have off days, days that people would not have him. And I would take all his off days. And you remember, we built a church from having him, and the people never forgot him. They still, a lot of them still, just, well, I mean, every night the crowd grew and we had a wonderful revival. We had revival. The Christian people had revival. And that's what we need. Thank you for loaning your pastor to us. Don't ever get over the fact that he's God's man and he can preach anywhere in the world and souls can be saved. Amen? And I appreciate Brother Smith. I know he's like myself and a few of the others are getting a little older. How many of you, would you raise your hand, you were in this church when Marsh and I were members, would you raise your hand? Hold them there just for a moment. If you do not have your hand up, will you stand up? If you don't have your hand up, stand up. Brother Smith, that hadn't been that long ago. Either that or I'm getting real old. Thank you, you may be seated. You know, God's blessed this church. And I want to thank you for praying for us and loaning us your pastor. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for the opportunity, and I don't count it lightly, to be able to be in this pulpit and preach to you, you precious people. Let's stand out of love and respect of God's word. Turn to Matthew chapter 28, and where would someone that preaches on missions go to? Matthew 28. We'll begin reading in verse 16. Would you read with me together, taking a breath after each punctuation mark, and read all the way down through verse 20. Verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed. Verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, what did he say? What? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Let's pray. Father, we come to thee because of Jesus Christ, and for no other reason. We ask for your power to be in this service. We ask for your Holy Spirit to speak to every heart from the Word of God. Use this word powerful in our hearts. Let us speak above and beyond our own abilities and allow you to be able to use us, in us, speak through us, and we'd ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The statement that Jesus makes here, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Just something about that statement, all power. When I grew up, Brother Smith's right along there too, we had engines that you worked on yourself. We don't do that anymore. We take it to the computer people, and they work on the engine. Amen? Now, in those days, you could change the points and the plugs, the condenser. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You could put it into a 327, a, you know, whatever size engine you had. I have an old Oldsmobile that's a 455. Now, that is the largest engine I've run across in a long time. Still own it. Now, that is power. When you think about getting a tune-up, you don't go in and get a new chip. You get a tune-up with plugs and points and condenser, and you fine-tune everything with the timing. And if you want to step it up a little more, you would get a full race cam, or you would go with a three-quarter cam. Now, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Now, we're talking about power. Now, I love power, don't you, in an engine. You know, you and I may not realize it, but nowadays I know that they have a lot of power in the way they put their engines together. I drive what's called a 327 Vortec Chevrolet, and they tell me that's bigger and better than the old 350. And with all the new stuff on it, it'll do this. Brother Barlow, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. It's not more powerful than it. You know what? When it never passes a gas station. It doesn't. It loves gas. Now, one of the things that you have to think about, we as growing up in the 50s, we wore, well, never mind what we wore. It wasn't, you know, it's not anything like today. Have you ever noticed what people wear today? Guys with their pants hanging clear off of them. I mean, there's so many piercings. I got behind someone last night. Marsh and I ran to the store to get some things that we needed to bring with us, and the guy was in front of us. Had more tattoos. He even had them on the back of his neck, up in his hair, down his elbows. I wasn't even going to ask where else. And I mean, there was tattoos and studs and everything in the world. Now, I can see decorating a car, but this is the body of the Lord. This is the temple of the Lord. Now, if God is in all-powerful God, and he has in his presence, now think about it. If you were, I love being with my friend, Brother Carl and Brother Bob, and I like just being in their presence. I think being their friend and be, now a week is enough. I mean, we're like the Three Stooges. I mean, it gets bad. No, I better not say that. But, you know, I really believe Brother Bob always fell or done something always. And this last time I went, I skipped last time. And the time before when I went, I was there and I said, guys, it's my turn to fill up this barge. And, you know, it's a pontoon boat. It's 24 foot. And it holds a lot of gas. we pulled up to this thing, and I reached over, and I got a hold of it, and I stepped out on the edge of that barge. It has a wall there. I'm stepping on the barge. Well, the barge started going like that. And my foot slipped off. I went about 10 foot under. My hat is floating. But where are my friends? They're over there laughing. They laughed so hard. Finally, one of the girls said, "Where's Jerry?" I'm coming up blubbering and hollering and, "Can I get some help here?" They're still laughing. The ladies came and helped me out of the water. He still laughs about it. Just thinking about it now, he'll have a rigor. I mean, just to be in their presence is fun. It's fellowship. It's time to gather. Now, if I had to be with Brother Clay Reed? Where is he? Brother Clay, if I had to be with you, son, you'd already be dead. You ask him. Brother Carl and Brother Bob were with me one time, and I had a bird dog, bless his little heart. It had kept having heart trouble, I guess, and it started having all of these seizures. And so they said I shouldn't be having that dog. I'll cut it up. Did he cut me off? Oh. And they said that I was afraid that it's going to shoot them, you know. And they said, I'm not going to limp anymore. I'm not going to do any of those things. And you know what? You and I come in someone's presence. Let's say a pastor's presence. Let's say that the president was here. Let's say that someone came in here that you thought a lot of, and their presence was so special to you that you could come near them, shake their hand, get their autograph. But did you know what? When you come into the very presence of God, you come in the presence of Jesus Christ. And when you come in His presence, and you come in the presence of Christ, it's power. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. Now, to me, that just blows my mind. Now, whether we are conscious of this or not, whether we believe it or not, when He gave His last commission to these disciples saying, "All power is given unto me. Go ye therefore. Lo, I am with you always." He was pledging His presence to these men to send them out. There are times, I'm sure, that on the mission field, you feel like maybe God's presence is just not very near you. God, have you forgotten me out here? God, have you forgotten me? And you know what? Sometimes a student could feel that way. Sometimes a pastor could feel that way. Sometimes a pastor's family could feel that way. Sometimes someone on the mission field could feel that way. But you know what? He said, "Lo, I am with you. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." He was pledging His presence as the guarantee of every needful thing for the fulfillment of His will through them. Can you believe that every one of you, when you come in the presence of Jesus Christ, that you could feel His power? If you could come in the very presence of Jesus Christ, you could feel His power. Is His word His word? Now I'm talking about a good old-fashioned King James Version. Is His word word? You see, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory." Amen? We did. He did become flesh. He did become a person that you and I could walk to, talk to, see, and touch, and one day we shall. But remember that the fulfillment of His will was through Jesus Christ. It was, I will be with you always. I am with you. He has that presence. He can come to you, and you can come to him. You need no other person. You need only Jesus Christ. Lo, I am with you. Go ye into all the world. There's a legend of a structure that has a horrible face. I call them ghouls. It has a horrible face, has huge tusks. It's of solid stone. It's a statue. And the legend goes like this. For the master, he would roll up a scroll. He would tuck it into this beast's mouth, as large as it was and as ugly as it was. And you could take that scroll, and the moment that scroll would enter his mouth, he became alive, and nothing could destroy him. Quite a story. Quite a story. You see, you and I are the ghouls. We roll it up. We hide it in our heart. We put it in our mouth. And I guarantee you, nothing can stop you for Jesus Christ. Nothing. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. Does all mean all when it says all in English? Huh? Does it mean all? I think it does. I think as you begin to look at this message, number one, he has power over all things. He said so. He has power over all things. Does all mean all? Yes, it does. Power over heaven? Yes. Power over earth? Yes. Power under the earth? Yes. In our news broadcast, they're broadcasting where the moon's coming up, and then there's one of the planets right next to it. I don't know where they've showed it down here or not, or where you can even see the sky down here or not. But and it said it'd be 250 years or something before that would ever come back to be in that alignment of the planets. Our galaxy consists of a few planets, an earth, and a sun, and a moon. And when you think of our galaxy, you think of something very large. Years ago, they put up a huge telescope. And in this telescope, they measured out a 2-inch diameter on that large screen. They counted over 200 galaxies in that little 2-inch segment. 200 galaxies. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And he created the heavens, and he created the earth, and he placed a man on the earth. Who do you think God loves? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I don't know about you, but to be in the presence of Jesus Christ and to be in the presence of God, to be in the presence of his word, to be in the presence of him is to know that Christ means power. What our problem is we want to be in presence of that young lady that we like or that young man we like. We want to be in the presence of somebody that we want to see on TV. Or I'm going to go see so-and-so. You see, we've got it mixed up. Jesus has all power. We've got it mixed up. We've got our eyes off of the wrong person. He's all powerful. He's God. He has the power over heaven. I go to prepare a place for you. I love that song tonight. Brother Sam, that was great. Man, preacher said, you're going to like this one. He was right. Man, I love that song. Anything about going home. When you get old, you do that, you know. You get old, you're thinking about going home. When you get old, you're thinking about all these different things, you know. And you think, hey, What's wrong with going home? I don't think I've any less when it comes to the preaching. I don't think that I think I love the Word of God more than I've ever loved the Word of God before, preacher. I understand it better. And you'll understand it better by and by. Some of you may not ever understand it until you get to go home with Jesus. Power over heaven, power over the earth. John 5:22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. You mean to tell me that Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10 through 15, can you tell me, here's a great white throne judgment. Here's all these people all lined up. Now, there's about 6.6 million right here. I think all 6.6 in the Metroplex has four cars and they drive them all at the same time. Amen? It seems that way. Every time I come down, it seems like you got more cars on the freeway. And no matter when you come, if you come in on 820 by Roof Snow, just forget it. You're not going to get there. You might as well forget it. Go somewhere else. Just forget it. No matter what time of day or night it is. Can you imagine 6.6 billion people? Can you imagine that all of those people and all of those things, can you imagine the population? That's no surprise to God. All power is given. Did you know God gives every one of you life? He brings the chromosomes and the chromosomes and the genes and puts you together, and here you are, Rachel. And you're looking at this ugly thing to marry him. You know you did all of his homework. I knew it all along. But I passed him anyway, Brother Green. I can't take it back now. Hope was the only one that did anything in my class. I'm just kidding. That had a wonderful class. They all did great. Of course, I had to separate these two. You know, I just put one over here and one not. And, you know, I have been in, honestly, I've been in a lot of classes and I've been in a lot of schools. I've been in a lot of different places. I'm not saying this because of Brother Smith and Brother Reed or any of you. But when I first came, heard the students sing, it did something right here for me. If you've never been down there to chapel, you ought to go just listen to the singing. It was all from the heart. It did something to me. By teaching in this school missions, it revived me. All power is given to who? It's given to Jesus Christ. And he sits there in judgment at the great white throne judgment. Can you imagine standing before that judgment? No, I'm not going to stand there because I'm the Christian. I'm a born-again believer. I don't have to be judged. I know every sin that I've ever committed has been put under the blood of Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you're not going to go to heaven, then you will stand at that great white throne judgment. You'll walk up, you'll take your turn. I don't care if it's 20 billion. I don't care if it's 30 billion. I don't care if it's a trillion people. And they have a line all the way around the earth 20 times. It makes no difference. We're not going anywhere. And if the preacher preaches to 12:30, it'll be all right. Amen? Because we're not going to get hungry. And you're not going to the bathroom. That seems like every time I get a sermon going, preacher, somebody's got to get up and go to the bathroom. I don't know what the deal is. Boy, when that sermon gets going, it gets hot in there. Everybody goes, ooh, you know, heading out. Stand in line. And as you and I are in the wings, and this judgment has been turned over to no one but Jesus Christ, all judgment, all judgment, all judgment, every sin, every memory, every word you thought, every sin you did, every little picture you saw on the internet, 312, I understand 312 or maybe more places that you men can go and look at nude pictures now. Be careful. God knows that, doesn't he? You better be careful. Judgment. Judgment. All judgment. All judgment. All judgment. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You know, I believe you and I have to realize that we're not going anywhere. And I believe after chapter 20, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. As you read Revelation 20, verse 10 through 15, and the devil and the beast and the false prophets and all of these angels were cast in the lake of fire, which burns forever and ever, verse 10 and 11. But all judgment's been turned over to one person. You and I are not going to be judged for sin because our sin is under the blood if we're born again believers. But remember, he will try every person. What if it's your relative? What if it's your uncle? What if it's your mama? What if it's your dad? What if it's one of your friends you worked with? What if it's one of the students that you went to school with? What if it's somebody you know and they're up here? I believe that in chapter 21 and chapter 22 of Revelation, and I see God wiping away all tears. I believe that Christians that are in the wings that are watching this judgment are going to have the tears. And I'm not so sure that the person that's standing there looks at you, points a finger and says, "Why didn't you tell me about Jesus Christ?" Amen, preacher. All power over the earth, all power over heaven. Number two, power over governors and kings. I'm going to hurry here and I'm going to read a scripture. If you'd like to turn there in John chapter 19, just a couple of verses. In verse 10 and 11, he said, Then said Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and to have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, verse 11, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." Thou hast no power except it be given thee. Folks, I got news for you. The only way you and I can have power today is when God gives us that power. There's power over governors and kings. Then there's power over life. Let me talk about that just for a moment. Power over life. Third of all, power over life. Also death. If he has power over life, he has power over death. Amen? You say, "I don't understand it why God took my relative. I don't understand it why God took my mama. I don't understand it." Maybe God didn't do it. Maybe he just approved it. It's not always that way, but sometimes God allows these things to do the things that he does, not understanding why. You see, power to make you and I, in John chapter 1, if you'd like to turn over there, in John chapter 1, now, I love these books in John. I love John anyway, because it pictures Jesus as God, as Christ, as Lord, as Master. And he starts out, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." But look at verse 11. "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." I like this verse. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power," power "to become" what? "To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." What makes you a Christian? What makes you a born-again believer? What makes you? Nothing you can do. It's what God gives you the power to become the very sons of God. You mean to tell me this Irish-Indian mixed race, no good, sorry piece of junk, that God reached down and took him up and made him the very Son of God? You see, God makes you that son if you'll allow him to. I don't deserve it, but neither do you. God loves you, and he gives you that power to become the Son of God, because of His kindness, His grace, His mercy, His sweetness, and most of all, His power. Power to become the very Son of God. Power to make us sons. Power to continue our life. What was it in John 10, verse 18, said, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to take it up and to lay it down. I can put it down or I can take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Who gave it me? God gave Christ that power. Now, we grew up in the day when atomic bombs were prevalent and the Bay of Pigs, and man, I worked at a grocery store going to Bible Baptist Seminary in those days. Worked over here on New York and Park Row at an A&P grocery. I'll never forget that day. Marcia worked right next to me at an Anthony's. That day when they had that problem with the Bay of Pigs problem, every shelf in our store, preacher, was cleaned out. I mean, there was nothing to go in there after. They cleaned us out. Every canned good, everything you could think of. And I said, it was part of my job to make sure all those shelves were full. I pulled everything from the back. I stuck everything. We had to redo that. We had to go actually hire a night crew to restock the whole thing. And it took days to get over it, to get the trucks in and recover from that experience. And can you believe just one big scare? People were just running. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when the dead in Christ shall rise and we which remain shall be caught up? People are going to be wondering, what can I do? We better get us a place to hide. We better get us all the groceries we can get. Better get all the canned goods. But folks, you cannot hide from the King of Kings. All power is given in me, heaven and in earth. The power over all flesh, John said in chapter 17, verse 2, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Now that doesn't mean if you wear a bright blue tie that you're the elect. Brother Green, that includes you. This group did a great job singing, but I hate them blue ties. Because that's the elect. If you have a little bit of blue, will that help? Nope. You see, I believe God said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's not predestinated you're going to go to heaven, and it's not predestinated you're already part of the elect. Did you know that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? He wants you to be saved today. You make a free moral agent choice to whether you want to go to heaven or you want to go to hell. He gives you that choice. He gives you the power to become the sons of God. "And as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Now you want to make a choice? That's your choice if you want to go to hell or heaven. But God gave you the power. I like that, preacher. Power of all flesh. Now get this one. Power of faith. And Brother Clay, where's Brother Clay? Brother Clay, this is the last one, but I got 10 points under this. Power of faith. What does Romans 10:17 say? "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by..." How does a person get saved on the mission field? How do they get saved in Brazil? They got to hear the word of God some way. How does people get saved on your block? How do people get saved in your classroom? How does people get saved over the internet or here? They have to hear the word of God. If they hear, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If they hear the word of God, they have the faith to believe and accept him as personal Savior. What is faith? Believing God's word. that He's all-powerful, all God. He's a God that loves you. He's a God that sent His Son to die for you. You're not going to have some 50 virgins waiting on you for some celestial place that you're going to be. That's a lie from hell. You know what? You and I need to realize that Jesus died on the cross, and that gave us the power, that gave us the right to receive Him as Lord and Savior. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What? Our faith. This is the victory that overcometh our faith. I got one little note here that has about 5 or 6 points. If you're a seminary student, don't jot them down because you'll preach them. Listen closely. Faith is the foot of the soul. Faith, how do I get faith? So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How do I get faith? Faith is the foot of the soul. So it comes to Christ. Faith is the hand of the soul, so it receives Jesus Christ. Faith is the arm of the soul, so it embraces Christ. Faith is the eye of the soul, so it looks upon Christ. Faith is the mouth of the soul, so it feeds on Christ, His Word. Faith is the lips of the soul, so it kisses the Master, Jesus Christ. Faith is the voice of the soul, so it praises the wonderful name. Jesus. Lord, we thank You for this wonderful church, for its pastor, for those that sit here. We forget who we're serving and what kind of power He has. We stand guilty of thinking we can do it all ourselves. But Lord, we submit to Your power because we know just to come into Your presence, just to come into Your presence. Oh, Lord, just to come into Your presence. We see the power of Jesus Christ. And we need You. We need Your forgiving presence. Your loving presence. We need by faith to embrace You and to love You and to lift up our hearts and our bodies and our minds asking for this kind of power. And we lay it all on You, and because of You, and because of what You've done, we surrender to that power. And we'd ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just remain seated. If God touches your heart, there'll be men here at the front. We're going to sing a verse of invitation song. I'm going to ask the pastor to come on. God bless you.